we're doing everything that we're required to do legally to work this out with the company. Our laid-off comrades went and did what they did, and I'm very proud of them. The passion of the workforce strand is why I do what I do. And again, that they're not picketing, they're protesting. They're private citizens now. They're laid off. They can do whatever they want, but they're not breaking the law. And, you know, and three, you know, well, reaching out to the press and seeing, you know, how do we get some help to fix this? Because, come on. I mean, come on.
So what would you like us in Oregon, our listeners here in Oregon and around the world, because our radio show is picked up around the world on the web, to do to help? What can we do to help?
Get the. I mean, if you can't fix things through proper channels, because that's what we're doing. We're doing the proper channels route. We need the people that hear this right now to step up and say this is wrong. Not just for us as fans. I mean, we appreciate any help we can get from the public to put pressure on the owner and her husband to do the right thing and protect our health and safety and retire our comrades so we can be a functional business again, because we're not a functional business right now. But also for other people in the working class, because we're not the only workplace going through this right now. Not in every regard, everything we've talked about tonight, we're not the only ones. We are one of many workplaces going through the same thing. So please share, spread the word, talk about this. Let's engage in a national dialogue about how, once again, the employer class has taken advantage of governmental bailouts to hurt the working class. Andrew Cuomo, on a daily basis for almost, I think, about a week, I watched his brief. I mean, just for a sense of security, would watch his briefings every day during the shutdown just to get some sense of like where we're at. He would stand up there and say the words, any business who takes a PPP loan and lays off the workers will face consequences in New York State. He said that. Not verbatim, but he said that.
Yeah.
Back up, make him back up his words.
In Oregon, we can lean on our senator, Ron Wyden. We actually, you know,
we love Ron.
Should have a direct line to this guy.
We love Ron. He's always been a kind guy.
Well, but he's not doing the right thing by the Strand bookstore workers, and
I mean that's like past tense.
And
you know,
if I were to call his office right now, what should I say?
We need him over here right now. Although I would hesitate a little bit on that one, because Portland needs him more right now. The citizens of Portland need him. The citizens of Portland need him right now. So we don't want to take Ron away from what he needs to do. But at the very least, please send your people over here and help us. Because we're not just stuck between a rock and a hard place where there's no visible solution. She's shoving us between a rock and a hard place and holding us down. And we need help.
Basic message is get people back to work, bring the people in.
Yes, so we have enough bodies, that we have enough bodies in the store to not only fulfill, you know, the requirement of the loan, but to also just staff the place properly and not have managers doing work that managers really shouldn't be doing. And to, in everything. And, you know, they promised to get, you know, the vast majority of the workforce back to work, get them back to work. And also, by the way, let us know what the heck happened to that money, because no one's telling us.
Yeah. Well, before we close out, is there any last words that you'd like to leave with our listeners? Is there a way that they can keep people can be updated on the struggle? Is there a website or
Facebook? We don't have a one succinct outlet where we're having discussion about this. Just set a Google alert for Strand Bookstore on your newsfeed. Reach out to us. Strand Shop Stewards as one word, STRAND Shop Stewards, STEWARDS @gmail.com to get a message out to us if you want to talk to us about what's going on. Speak out and not just fight for us, but fight for everyone that's going through this right now, because this is egregious on every level all the people going through this.
All right.
Keep the fight up. Don't lose faith.
Strand Bookstore Worker Shop Steward with UAW 2179. Thanks so much for your time and for being
Thank you
us
so much for talking. Thank
right.
you so much. You have a great night. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this evening's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday from 6 to 6:30. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Welcome to Prison Pipeline. From the studios of KBOO Portland in Oregon, I'm your host, Amy Johnson. I'll be airing audio from an interview I had with Jedi on July 24th. Jedi is an organizer, rapper, visual artist, and hooper based in Portland, Oregon, who has been involved with the Portland protests, which were entering their 57th day when we spoke on Friday. Later, we'll also hear from organizers in Washington County in the Portland metro area about a new coalition that's being launched which aims to defund the police. First, we'll hear the demands of the Portland protests.
We're calling to defund the police department by at least 50%. We want to free all of the protesters. We want to get the feds out of our city completely, and we want Ted Wheeler to resign.
Could you talk a little bit about what's been happening at the protests and what kind of violence y'all have faced from the police and the federal agents there?
Sure. So what we've been experiencing is a lot of tear gas, a lot of flashbangs, a lot of pepper bullets, a lot of rubber bullets as well, and also like beanbag shots. I don't really know what they... I actually got hit in the face with one just the other night, but luckily I had a full like face gas mask on. It hit me square in the face.
Wow.
I'm so glad I had a mask. So yeah, we've been experiencing a lot of brutality, like a lot of shoving, a lot of batons, pretty much everything you can imagine except for like actual live ammunition. It's been really interesting, like watching the development of it, because at first it was PPB. They would do regular announcements, right? So before they would start shooting off munitions at the crowd, they would say, "We have declared an unlawful assembly. Please exit west or please leave now." But now that the feds have gotten here, they literally give no announcement at all. So what happens is they'll come out of the Justice Center and they'll just stand around for a little bit, and then with no warning at all, they'll just start shooting tear gas and flashbangs and everything else at us. And so there's really no announcement that we can't be there. There's no announcement that this has been declared a riot. There's no announcement that they have witnessed any criminal activity in the crowd. The last couple of nights, actually, they haven't said a single word, like not a single word. All night, all they do is act. And so it makes me wonder, like, well, if they're not declaring unlawful assembly, they're not declaring that there's criminal activity that's putting lives at risk in the crowd, then what reason do they have to shoot stuff at us? You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. like, we don't know that we're doing anything wrong at all. And as far as I'm concerned, we're really not. Granted, I will say, like, there are some kids that are, like, lighting fires and stuff like that. That does happen occasionally in certain areas, but if that is the reason they're deciding to launch stuff at us, wouldn't it make sense to at least mention that? You know what I mean? There's literally no announcements at all happening anymore. So yeah, the feds are they seem to be more cold and heartless, to be honest. For example, one time I was standing on the front line with like maybe, there was like 40 people on the front. Well, there was like hundreds of people in the crowd, but I was up in the front. And we were standing off with the police for like a good solid five minutes. And then all of a sudden, people from the back just start saying to retreat. So naturally everybody just kind of starts retreating. People literally turn around to start walking away. And then they shoot off two tear gas canisters into a crowd of hundreds of people. But just right at the front, they shot off two tear gas canisters and then turned around and just walked away. So it's like, what is the point of that? You're just shooting tear gas for what? Like, with no announcement? It's just, it's really, really, really bizarre. And I don't understand how, you know, these authorities can think that we are going to listen to anything they have to say if they continuously act in these ways that are random and unpredictable and with just complete disregard for any decency, you know?
The whole situation is like really scary, especially because they're planning on launching these people all over the country, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's wild. In Chicago, basically, it sounds like it's all the cities that are still have had like ongoing protests since it started.
So yeah, it really seems like they're just targeting these uprisings that are demanding that Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. Exactly. And also mainly Democratic areas, you know, places that are completely anti-Trump.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I was curious if you also know like the history of violence within the Portland Police Department a little bit, because I know that you're calling for 50% of the Portland police budgets to be divested.
Yeah, there's just numerous cases of them, you know, killing Black people and Black men and Black women for real no good reason. You know, Quanis Hayes, Jason Washington, Kendra James. And I mean, there's a list of them. So it's just, they have a history of brutalizing our people and killing our people for no real reason. So it's like, we can only take so much, you know. Black people have been fed up with this stuff for so long. But now, I think after seeing that George Floyd video, the intensity of that video, I think has really sent the Black community across the United States into to the point where it's like, okay, we've been done, but now we're like complete. That video is so disturbing and so just disgusting that it's like, it's gotten to that point where we're doing public lynchings. We're doing lynchings like that. And so it's just, we've gotten to the point where it's completely over with. And so I think that's a huge reason why these protests have lasted for so long. You know, I wonder if it was another Black person that was shot and killed, would we still be protesting this hard? I don't really know. But I think that video has a lot to do with why people are so just completely with police brutality and police in general. Let's see, where do I start? For example, last year's Portland Police Bureau budget was about 230. I think it was like close to $240 million.
Wow.
So we gave that much to the police, and we gave the houseless community only $46 million, right? And yet half 52% of the arrests that were made last year in Portland were on the houseless community. So it stands to reason that maybe we should siphon that money we're giving to the police and just give it to the houseless community. Because time and time again, we've seen that a lot of crime really stems from poverty. And so if we take the money that we're giving the police department and reinvest it into avenues like healthcare, like education, like the houseless community, like drug addiction, these people will be getting what they need, right? And so they won't feel like they need to commit crimes to get what they need. Instead, they'll just be being supported by the community and community-led safety programs. So that's really key. And there are examples of this, like in Camden, New Jersey. Camden, New Jersey is one of the most intense like ghettos in the United States, and they had a big push to defund the police, but and it's decreased crime rate tremendously. Philadelphia actually just proposed a bill, or they just proposed a 5-year plan to defund the police and completely abolish them within 5 years. So essentially, like, the resources are there, they exist to basically create a world in which we don't need the police to keep people safe. And a lot of people think that, like, defunding the police and abolishing the police, it's going to create like a vacancy in safety. That's not what we're talking about. Trying to take the money that we're giving them and put it into places that are really, really needed, so that crime won't be needed in order to fulfill people's needs. Because at the end of the day, every behavior that someone makes is a need getting met. So people are creating crimes, or they're committing crimes, they're simply trying to get their needs met. And so if we can give money to those programs that are going to help people get those needs met, we're going to see the crime decrease. We won't need the police.
How can people get involved with the protests or support the protests? And if you want to also reiterate what you guys are calling for.
So number one, we want to defund the police by 50%. Kind of what that looks like is so by defunding them, we want to reinvest into BIPOC communities, especially Black communities. So like a few Black communities that still exist in Portland are like parts of North Portland, NOPO, parts of like Killingsworth area, and also parts of the east side. So that's like Gresham and the numbers. A lot of people know that term. So we have a bunch of ideas around like how we want to do that. Like, Black people still suffer from post-traumatic slave disorder. If you've never heard this and you're listening, please look that up. Post-traumatic slave disorder. A lot of Black people deal with mental issues, and it's like stigmatized to have a therapist in a way. It's like a lot of Black people have too much pride to get a therapist, but a lot of Black people do need therapists. So we want to figure out how to like find a way to get as many Black people therapists in our city. Maybe even creating like grants where we give like Black folks $10,000 to get a house. And so we can start getting land, because a lot of like racism is based on inequity and economics. It's a lot of it's just money. So if we can start siphoning money into the Black community through housing, through mental services, getting schools proper after school programs, and just funding all of these things that the community is really needing, that's going to help out in so many ways. So we're and you know, honestly, I linked up with the Seattle Black Femme March organizers. They've actually turned themselves the Everyday Organizers. So they're one of the, I believe they're the only faction that has been protesting in Seattle since day one, and they're still protesting every day. They have been calling for 50% defunding the police, and they got it. The city council has voted in favor to defund the police by 50%. And a large part of that is because of that crew marching every single day at 8 a.m. and at 8 p.m. So they're hitting the morning traffic and they're hitting the late nights, and just keeping that pressure on, that helped create that. And so we want to model that. You know, if Seattle can do that, we can do that. And the truth is, so like when I was in Seattle, I marched with them. They only had like 50 people or so at the march. I'm not sure if you've been going down the JC, but they have hundreds. The last three nights in a row, I think we've had over 2,000 people. And so we have the numbers. So if we have everybody on the same page down to the Justice Center, knowing exactly what the demands are, and we are relentless and perseverant AF and pushing that message, there's no way that we cannot succeed in that. We expect to fight, but that's okay, because as you can see downtown, our people are ready. We are super organized. We're down there every single night. People are getting proper protective gear. People are being more confident in their ability to handle these feds and the police. And so, yeah, 50% is the deal, and we're not going to stop until we get that. Number two is free all protesters from jail. Protesters do not belong in jail. We're out here protesting. We're exercising our First Amendment right. One of my other comrades was arrested and spent 2 weeks in jail in solitary confinement. So we can't be having that. So we want to free all the protesters. We want to get the feds out because, you, as you may already know, there was an article that came out that these feds have not been properly trained in riot control or dealing with protests. They don't have experience in this. These are paramilitary, mercenary type people who are trying to handle one of the most formidable protests in the world right now, at least in the United States for sure. So that makes no sense. They need to go. Also, they're not making announcements when they're launching their munitions at us, and people are getting seriously injured by them. So we want them out. And then the last one, Ted Wheeler needs to resign. He's shown time and time again that he's not fit for the job. He makes a lot of empty promises. There's a whole lot of talk, not a lot of action. And so, yeah, his time is just up. His time is up. So those are our four demands. It's wild how the, you know, this, like, Portland's, like, devolved almost into, like, this, like, state. It's like we're witnessing, like, you know, then again, we've only seen it. I've only seen it one time, but the state-sanctioned kidnapping is outrageous. And the fact they're attacking press and, yeah, it's just, it's really, really, really wild to see how they're acting down there. And it's, and they're not even deterred by the streamers, which is interesting because all this stuff is being streamed. You know, like, one thing I've noticed they'll do is, like, they'll, like, when they charge, they'll push people, and it's like whoever falls down, they'll arrest. It's almost like they're preying on the weak or something.
Yeah, I think one thing that I was, like, maybe I'd like to drop in a little bit is, like, the beauty of what's happening in the community there.
Sure,
like,
yeah, let's talk about that.
Could you say about some of the beautiful stuff?
Yeah, I've met some of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life in this movement. People that I think I trust with my life, people who I just value so much. The amount of, like, community that this has created is truly special, you know. When we're down there, you know, we have the numbers of people on a block at a time. We have hundreds, if not thousands, and everyone is really looking out for each other. We have medics, we have people who are putting out tear gas, we have people with shields and umbrellas, we have people on megaphones that are, you know, just there to disrupt the police and talk a bunch of mess in their ears. We have streamers, we have a lot of different people that are all contributing in a different way, and we're all looking out for each other. And we're, like, I've been having, like, more meetings with, like, comrades and just, like, really talking about, like, how can we get these feds out of here? How can we be more effective on the front lines? How can we protect ourselves better when they're charging? We're just, there's a lot of brainstorming, and it's just a beautiful thing to see, you know. Like, I've never been to Burning Man. I've had a lot of friends that have been to Burning Man, but it's nice to see that, like, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was like, you know, at Burning Man, people are always talking about how can we bring Burning Man to the world. Well, it's like, we're using that same creativity and same ingenuity to fight for Black lives. You know, like, music festivals are not really happening right now because of COVID. So now people are organizing and strategizing around how can we free Black people. And how can we, and in essence, how can we free humans all around the world? Because Black liberation is human liberation at the end of the day. And so the fact that everybody's organizing and participating and building a really strong community and sharing resources and donating to each other, and it's just a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's funny how a lot of people think that the entire city of Portland is just a constant riot, and that's not what's happening. It's just... it's pretty much just in the Justice Center and in the police union. It's pretty centralized to the locuses of power in the city. It's not all over the city. And if you appreciate, Jay, what I'm doing and you want to support, just follow me for updates at Jedi on Instagram. So at @JAHDI_. And then my Venmo is always welcoming to support. And that's at @JAHDI. LEVVI. That's my Venmo. So, and if you want any other places to donate to, just let me know, because I know of all the good places to give your support to. Black Resilience Fund @PDX Black Youth Movement. And the movement is MVMT, so Black Youth Movement. We got Snack Block, so at Snack Block, it's SNACKBLOC. Free Lunch Collective, at Free Lunch Collective, just exactly how it's spelled. PDX Action Medics, at PDX Action Medics. And there's some other, but if you guys want to know any more, please let me know.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline from the studios of KBOO Portland. You just heard from Jedi about the ongoing protests in Portland. Now we'll hear from Sunrise Beaverton organizers Pedro and Maggie about a coalition being formed in Washington County focused on defunding the police.
Yeah, the Fund the People Coalition. We've been organizing here in Beaverton for a while now around like a lot of different things, but obviously since George Floyd's murder, you know, we've taken up actions in that direction, fighting for racial justice and all sorts of like facets out here in Beaverton. And the Fund the People Coalition, I guess the whole tagline that you've probably heard before is like the Fund the Police, Fund the People. And so we decided to go with Fund the People for the name of this because we found that the city's been super uninvolved and letting crucial conversations just like slip by their fingers while other suburbs in the area are making progress and doing like tangible things and creating like tangible timelines for their city to be involved in these type of conversations. And that's definitely not happening here in Beaverton. They're even taking a 3-week summer break in the middle of a global pandemic next month. So the Fund the People Coalition, I think, like, was really pushed for because we can only do so much here in Beaverton. And like, I know I live in Beaverton, but I have like connections in Tigard and in Hillsboro, and you know, like stuff that goes on over there affects people that I love. And I'm over there too. So these, I don't know, we just feel the need to have some more suburban wide Washington County level organizing, just to build more momentum and drum up the noise out here, because we are so close to Portland, and not let it, I don't know. I think also creating like the space to have more radical organizing around these issues out here would obviously like benefit each other and benefit like the efforts happening out in Portland.
Yeah, and I just want to add that I think you're absolutely right, Pedro. Where our city government here is not used to getting this kind of pressure. People think that we're removed from these kinds of issues by being out here in the suburbs, and they really need this pressure right now. They obviously think that they're going to be able to wait us out. They've had a complete lack of response to any mention of the police budget. It's been over a month since our city council member Lacey Beatty proposed the 8 can't wait measures, and they have done nothing to take action on those. Yeah, so 8 Can't Wait is a series of measures proposed initially by Campaign Zero. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and they have since stated that these measures don't go far enough, but basically they are the most basic forms of police reform, including things like banning chokeholds, really just basic level police reforms. And our city government has not even been willing to consider some of those things.
And making like the lousiest excuses for it too.
Yeah. So they have proposed a 8-week series to discuss the next steps. And they say that they're going to involve the community, but they haven't laid out any clear path for centering the community's voice. So the pressure is key, and it's obvious that we need to increase our numbers to get that pressure up. And that's what this coalition's really aimed at doing, is really just, like you said, making it louder out here in the burbs.
Well, like Maggie said, those 8 can't wait proposals are so basic and lukewarm. And as a counter to that, there was this 8 to Abolition announcement, similar branding to the 8 Can't Wait, but much more radical proposals. And Within the 8 abolition measures, there's talk of like reimagining community safety. And we know that community safety cannot involve armed police officers for like a multitude of reasons. And we have to create like alternative institutions to provide care, whether that's like a Kahoot style program in Eugene or just other services for like mutual aid and getting food out to people, like what the Oregon Food Bank does.
What kind of work do you think that the Fund the People Coalition will do in Washington County? And can you give more details about how people can get involved?
A lot of education and imagining about what else we could fund outside of, you know, these police institutions. So that's like central to, I think, any progress in this movement, but also, you know, the basic community engagement stuff, like signing petitions and getting people out to rallies and media events and really just like escalating the amount of activity happening out here through those different avenues. And then how to get involved. So we made an announcement on our Facebook page, Sunrise Beaverton. But also if you want to see more information on like the Fund the People Coalition, some background information and our objectives, you can go to bit.ly/fundthepeople, and that's a capital F U N D capital T H E capital P E O P L E. So bit.ly/fundthepeople with, you know, FTP capitalized. And yeah, you can get more information there. And then also, if you go to bit.ly/fundthepeopleform with a capital FTPF for Fund the People, you can sign up to be a part of the coalition or at least come to the planning meetings. And
our coalition proposal meeting will be August.